God's goodness is this mask right here. I just want to say, you know, and my brother Charles, which has to watch online today, Charles and Don, is a Raiders fan. So you know Jesus is number one for him because he was able to give his brother a Chiefs mask, right? That's just unity right there. Okay, that's it. All right. All right. We got this one too. How about Authentic Life? We'll just go that way, okay? So, all right. Hey, guys, God's good. Amen, church. Anybody see the rainbow this morning? Man, I'll tell you what, man, just a reminder of God's promises and his goodness. Super good to be with you guys today. Emily talked about it before, but just so I don't forget, you guys have in your bulletins, you guys see the names of who we're voting on for the leadership team. These are guys and gals that are really kind of behind the scenes and help make administrative decisions, help make purchasing decisions, help make budget decisions, help make those types of things. And so that's what we're voting on today. And we've got two people that are rolling off, and then you can vote all three of them in, or heck, maybe just pick somebody else. I don't know, but no, we're good. It's going to be good. Hey, Bible tells us that all of heaven rejoices when somebody comes to know Christ. And this morning, all of heaven was rejoicing in our first service. So just super excited to see people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Just in case you need something to smile about today. Amen, church? We're going to have to work on this. All right. When I say amen, you say amen. Okay, ready? Amen? All right, we got it. All right. Somebody got saved this morning, church. Amen? All right. Goodness, man, we're going to work on this. I know it's raining outside, and we don't really know what that is, but, you know, it's good. It came from God, and we can celebrate that, too. All right. Whew. Got it worked out. For the last few weeks, church, we have been walking through a series called Courageous Faith, and we've been looking at the book of Daniel and seeing a man named Daniel and his buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And we've seen their life as they face difficulties or storms in their life. And we saw that no matter what season they were in, when temptation came, when temptation to sin came, when circumstances that they had that were difficult, whenever they faced those, they continually showed their courageous faith in the Lord. Guys, in our life, we are called to have courageous faith, right? We live in a world where there's persecution, there's hardship, there's tough decisions, there's temptations to sin, and pressures to not follow Jesus everywhere we look. Man, it's just like, it's not like just a daily thing. It's almost an hourly thing. And here's the thing. We know that God's worthy. Amen. We know he's worthy of our surrender. We know he's worthy for us obeying. But sometimes, especially when struggles come, it becomes difficult. We often struggle to stand firm in our walk with him. We struggle to stand against that temptation. And so we spend time looking at how we too can stand firm and have this courageous faith. A recap real quick. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel and his friends, they had been serving and worshiping God, and they found themselves being forced into a new way of life. Their home, Jerusalem, was attacked, was conquered. They came in and even went into the temple and destroyed that and stole things out of there. And one of the things that King Nebuchadnezzar did was took the best of the best of these young men out of Jerusalem and brought them into Babylon. And the goal was to change them, right? They're now to live in an unfamiliar, ungodly, and sinful culture. And they're told to conform to their ways, speak their language, eat their food, and worship and honor their false gods. But what we saw was Daniel and his buddies, they determined in their heart, they decided, man, I'm not going to sin against God. I'm not going to dishonor God. And so God protected them during that moment. Guys, we are faced with temptations and times and opportunities where we have to determine in our hearts. It's just determine, man, I'm not going to sin against God. I'm not going to dishonor God. And when Daniel and his friends stood for the Lord, even when they stood alone, I love this, they gave God all the glory. Sometimes when we do something really good, we want as many likes on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram that we can get, amen? But they just did it for his glory because he's worthy. Daniel chapter 3, we watched three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're serving under King Nebuchadnezzar. And one day the king builds this false idol, right? And he sends out a message basically saying, when the music plays, you must stop what you're doing. You must bow down and you must worship this false idol. And what happens is you have these three godly young men. And when that music played, everybody else bowed and they stood. Because to worship God, or they chose to worship God instead of the false idol, standing for the Lord, even when their life was on the line. Because again, he's worthy, right? That's a focus of ours this year. We follow the Lord because he's worthy. And when they stood, they found themselves in a very difficult situation. These men stood together. They trusted God together, even during this storm. And they knew that God was able to deliver them. Even if God says, I'm not going to deliver you out of this, they still chose to remain faithful and trust in Him and honor Him during that storm. Our big takeaways from last week was this. When troubles come, and they will, amen, church? When we find ourselves in a storm, whatever it may be, we saw that we're never to walk alone. We were not designed to do that. We kind of got this idea, especially in our culture, I'm just going to isolate, I'm going to pull back, I'm going to withdraw, but we're meant to do life together. We also saw that we're to know who God is and know His promises and know that He is able. Like, nothing is too big for God. And we're also reminded that Jesus is right there. If we're saved, Jesus is with us in the fire through it all. And then last is key for us today is to know that when we're going through difficult times, people are watching. Right? As you walk through storms in your life, people are watching. You know what they want to know? If you truly love Jesus. So that's the first two. Today we're in Daniel chapter 5. We're going to do like we did last week, kind of read through this as we go instead of standing and reading through this very long passage together. But when we come to chapter 5, a lot of things have changed. A lot has happened. There are many years between chapters 3 and 4 and 5. Daniel is now an older man, probably late 70s, early 80s. Right, so he's retired. Right, chapter 3, Daniel and his friends, they had authority, they had influence under King Nebuchadnezzar. But now in chapter 5, the king has died. It's been 20 years. History tells us that there was kind of a influx of people coming in and out of the three or four of them coming as king. But now we have a man named King Belshazzar. I don't know if anybody's looking for a biblical name, but two names, Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, probably not the ones to pick. Amen, church. So. It's believed that Nebuchadnezzar is the grandson. You're going to see in the text that it calls him the son, right, or father. It's just talking about descendants. So it's Nebuchadnezzar's grandson is Belshazzar. So here's a little bit about Belshazzar. Belshazzar is a confident, arrogant ruler, right? He's sitting in a well-protected, well-guarded, and heavily supplied city. So he's not all that worried. But right outside those walls stands an enemy called the Medo-Persian army. And they're pressing in and planning to attack. And one of the things that we're going to learn during this is they're actually finding their way into this kingdom as we read through this passage. And Daniel, since he was part of the servants and leaders under the old king, it was custom that he was sent out. So Daniel doesn't have a voice anymore, right? He doesn't have influence. He's not ruling anywhere anymore. He's retiring. And so in chapter 5, we got a new king. The enemy's pressing in. Belshazzar sees all of his people. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter how well protected you are. You know you got a strong enemy outside. You might freak out a little bit, right? And so he's going to build up their spirits a little bit. And what he's going to do is throw a party, right? Because what else to do when you got someone that's wanting to kill you? Let's throw a party, right? So he's going to throw this party, but there's something different about this party. It's a pagan party. They're worshiping false idols during this. It's a sinful party, so use your imagination there, but not too far. And then it's also a drunken party. I don't know if you guys remember from chapter 1 or not, but when when the first king, Nebuchadnezzar, went into Jerusalem, he went into God's temple. Before he destroyed it, he stole a bunch of holy pieces, right? Things that they used to honor God. And when they did that, it was a slap in the face to the people in Jerusalem, but it also dishonored God. And that's going to be important because as we, in the first five verses, what we read is that during this party, King Belshazzar, while they're worshiping these false idols and being sinful and getting drunk, they go out and use these artifacts, these things out of the temple. And that's going to be important. So that's where we are. The enemy's outside. The king and the city are partying, honoring their false gods, dishonoring the one true God. And then we see God step in. So look with me at Daniel chapter 5, beginning in verse 5. And you can see it on the screen or in your Bible. Here's what God's word says. Suddenly, the finger of a man's hand emerged and began writing opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. Then the king's face grew pale, and his thoughts alarmed him, and his hip joints went slack, and his knees began to knock together. The king called aloud to bring the conjurers, the Chaldeans, the diviners, those that he think have wisdom. The king spoke and said to these wise men of Babylon, any man who can read this inscription and explain its interpretation to me shall be clothed with purple and have a necklace of gold around his neck and have authority as third ruler in the kingdom. Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the inscription or make known its interpretation to the king. Then King Belshazzar was greatly alarmed. His face grew even paler, and his nobles were perplexed. Let's pray, church. God, we thank you for the book of Daniel. And the last 2 weeks have been amazing, God. We pray, Lord, today that we're going to look at a different story today and a different time in history where you stepped in and used Daniel. God, we pray, Lord, that you'd be in charge as we listen and as we respond. Be glorified today in Jesus' name. Amen. The enemy's pressing in. The king's not too worried because things are, they're secure behind this wall, right? Behind their soldiers, behind what they have. And to raise morale, he throws this pagan and sinful party. And then out of nowhere, he sees a hand, right? The dude freaks out a little bit. I think that's like an understatement, right? But this hand comes out of nowhere and begins to write this inscription on the wall. And the king is losing it, right? He's got this carefree partying attitude. And now all of a sudden, he's terrified. How terrified? I think details are important. It says his hips went slack and his knees were shaking. I think we can understand the knee shaking part, right? But if you pay attention to the language here, some of your translations will actually say something that could have happened, that he soiled himself, right? His hips were loose, right? And that's kind of that idea. The dude's scared, right? And then no one can tell him what's going on. No one can tell him what it says. And then just to kind of cover what's going on in verses 10 through 16, the Bible tells us that someone enters in. The king or the queen enters in. And so who's this queen? It's not his wife. It's actually Nebuchadnezzar's either wife or daughter. And it's important because she served. She was there when Nebuchadnezzar served. And she comes in and she said, hey, there is a man that served under King Nebuchadnezzar. He served the king well. And she says, this new king, right? She tells the new king, this man was special, right? He was able to do things by the power of his God. His God gave him insight and knowledge and success and used him to solve difficult problems in his life and for the kingdom. God used him during tough times. This man trusts his God. And so she says, we need to get him here to see if he can tell us what that hand wrote. And so the king says, okay, yeah, he doesn't have any other thing to do. So he gets Daniel in there and he tells him, he says, I heard great things about you, Daniel, and I hear great things about your God. I hear you have wisdom and knowledge and success and that you helped during difficult times and that God used you during all sorts of tough moments. I know you served Grandpa well and now I need your help. The king says, if you can interpret the writing on the wall for me, I've got a purple robe and a gold necklace and I'll make you third in charge. Here's the thing, no matter where Daniel finds himself, God continues to use him. But here's another thing, we're going to see that Daniel continues to trust and honor God during those moments. Verse 17, we're going to read through this. Then Daniel answered, here's Daniel's response. He answered and said before the king, keep your gifts for yourself or give your rewards to someone else. However, I will read the inscription to the king and make the interpretation known to him. Verse 18, O king, the Most High God granted. He's telling him this is what God granted the former king. The Most High God granted sovereignty and grandeur and glory and majesty to Nebuchadnezzar your father because of the grandeur which he bestowed on him. All the peoples, nations, men of every language feared and trembled before him. He says, whomever he wished, he killed. Whomever he wished to spare, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he elevated. Whomever he wished, he humbled. But when Nebuchadnezzar's heart was lifted up and his spirit became so proud that he behaved arrogantly, he was disposed from his royal throne and his glory was taken away from him. He was also driven away from mankind and his heart was made like that of beasts and his dwelling place was with the wild donkeys. He was even given grass to eat like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he recognized that the Most High God is ruler over the realm of mankind and that he sets over it whomever he wishes. So we see what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar, right? God humbled him until the king humbled himself before God. God was helping him see. He says, I alone am the ruler over all. You have what you have because me, God is telling him. The king does not only have the power because God allowed it. But the king didn't give God the glory, and so God humbled him until he humbled himself. Now Daniel's stepping back, and now he's speaking to King Belshazzar, and he says, but you, his son, his descendant, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart even though you knew all this. Daniel's saying, you knew all this. You knew God humbled your grandfather until he recognized God as the Most High God. You knew all of this, King Belshazzar. But you, Belshazzar, have exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house, right? The things from the temple before you, and you and your nobles, your wives and your concubines have been drinking wine from them, dishonoring God, right? And you've praised the gods of silver, of gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see, hear, or understand. He's saying, Belshazzar, like, you saw what happened, but now you're still dishonoring God. You're worshiping false idols made by man's hand. But the God in whose hand are your life breath and all your ways you've not glorified. Then the hand was sent from him, and this inscription was written out. Daniel is saying, you didn't learn from your grandfather's mistakes. I've got a buddy of mine that just wrote a book called Bad Bosses. Get it on Amazon. I don't care where you get it. But it's about looking at leaders in the Bible that made bad decisions and learning from that. I think it's easier. Young people, hear me. It's easier to learn from older people's mistakes, right? Instead of making them yourself. But Belshazzar missed that. Right? And then not only did he miss it, but he chose to be proud, right? He chose to put other things before God. He was arrogant before God. He dishonored God. Daniel's saying, you saw God at work and you still put yourself and other things and false gods before the one true God. Then we come to the reading on the wall. Here's what it says in verse 25. Now this is the inscription that was written out. Mene tekel upharsin. This is the interpretation of the message, and he lists them out. Mene, meaning God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found deficient. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and Persians. Verse 29, Belshazzar gave orders, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a necklace of gold around his neck and issued the proclamation concerning him that he now had authority as the third ruler of this kingdom. Verse 30, that same night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. So Darius the Mede received the kingdom at about the age of 62. So the writing's on the wall, church. Daniel interprets this news, and in verse 30 through 31, we see the end of King Belshazzar. For the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at Daniel and his friends walking through difficult moments and still standing and honoring God and having courageous faith. We saw them walk through their own difficult moments. And what did they do? They honored God. They obeyed God. They stood firm with God. We saw them trust God even through the toughest circumstance. Through every temptation to sin, through every storm and circumstance, through every fire that they faced. Even when they stood alone, they were courageous for the Lord. When it would have been easier to go along with the world, they walked with God. When it could cost them their life, they trusted and walked with the Lord. But as we come to our text today, we're going to see something. This isn't Daniel's tough time. This isn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's storm that they're walking through. God is going to use Daniel during someone else's storm. Guys, we can relate to both sides, right? Sometimes we find ourselves in a storm. I was visiting with some people this morning. Like, I'm in a storm, right? I'm going through a difficult time. But sometimes you're invited to walk through someone else's difficult time with them. Amen? Right? Are you with me, guys? Last week, we talked about when you're going through a difficult time, do not do that alone. Right? Invite other people into that with you. But there's another side that I think we wrestle with sometimes. We also need to be available to walk through tough times with others. It may be a friend. It may be a relative. Maybe someone right here in Authentic Life Church. It may be someone that doesn't know Jesus. It may be someone that lives life completely different than you. And we need to know if God places us in a situation where he can use us to help someone, what do? Right? So here's the question on your notes this morning. As a Jesus follower, how do I walk with others through their difficult time? And we're going to look at Daniel chapter 5 to get the answer to that. How do you and I come alongside a family member, a friend, an enemy, someone that knows God, someone that doesn't, when they're walking through a storm? Daniel said in verse 24, guys, I need you guys to catch this part, okay? So don't check out on me. I need you guys to catch this part. Daniel says in verse 24 that we are in God's hands, right? He reminds that the king only had authority because God gave it to him. Amen? Here's what that means for us. God is in control. And he has you and I where we are on purpose. God didn't accidentally place you in Tucson. God didn't accidentally place us here at Authentic Life. God didn't accidentally put you next to your neighbor. He didn't accidentally put you in the family you are. God has you where you are on purpose. That means this. We say this a lot at church. You work where you work, you live where you live, and you play where you play because God is sovereign, and He places people in your life on purpose. Sometimes we look at our neighbors or people in family and are like, man, I just wish they would move, right? Or I wish they would get out of my life. But so maybe we should take a step back and say, why has God placed me or them in each other's lives? Amen, church? Are you with me? Right? Sometimes when tough times come, sometimes God has that person so they can walk with you. And sometimes God has you in their life so you can walk with them during that storm. God gives us opportunities to step in and walk with others. And so when we look at Daniel chapter 5, we're going to look at some key takeaways and principles to help us walk through difficult times with others. We're going to look at some truths for us to know as we are invited into someone else's struggle. Truth number one is this, and we're going to spend most of our time on this morning. Here it is. Trusting and walking with God during our difficulties allows us to walk with others through their difficulties. Trusting and walking with God during our difficulties allows us to walk with others through their difficulties. So a big key takeaway is you want to be used by God, trust God in your difficult moments. When we look at Daniel, remember this, he had been in a position of influence where people saw his every move. But now he's retired, he's out of the spotlight, he's nowhere near this party, nowhere near King Belshazzar, but it was because of the way Daniel trusted God during his own storms that he's now invited to walk with others during theirs. Daniel and his buddies, guys, they were taken from their home. They're forced into a new way of life, into a very difficult time in their life. And if you remember, think about this. Even when Daniel disagreed with those in authority over them, he did it the right way. Right? That's a good reminder for us this morning, right? Sometimes we step in and we want to share truth, or we want to step up and say we can't do this, but we look like bullies in the midst. Are you with me, guys? Sometimes we just do it in the wrong way. He respected those in authority over him, and guess what? The queen saw that. And so when we have every right to throw a fit and make a stink, Daniel handled it the right way. And when he was told that he must eat the king's food and honor the false gods, he did it the right way, but he determined in his heart and in his mind, he said, I'm going to stand with God even if we stand alone. He trusted God with how he handled himself. He trusted God to deliver him, and he walked with the Lord during that moment. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they trusted God. They knew God was able. They walked with God and honored him through all of their storm and their fire. And because of that, others saw God at work in their life. They saw Daniel give praise to God. They saw God give Daniel the ability to do some amazing things to interpret the former king's dream. Guys, here's the thing. They witnessed Daniel and his buddies trust in God and walk with God, and then in turn, they saw God at work in their life. And now many years later, he's 70, 80 years old. He's not in the palace. He's not even in the king's thoughts. But because he was faithful and trusted God, God made a way to bring him back to help during this storm. Guys, think about this. This queen, she witnessed the hardship. She saw all of this. She saw Daniel being taken from his home. She had a front row seat to how he responded to every situation. She saw how they walked with God and how it was real and authentic in his life. Authentic. Okay, all right. Guys, Daniel didn't just walk with God when it was easy. We're super good at being casual Christians. When it's comfortable, we're really good at it. Daniel walked with God when it was the hardest, and the queen saw it. And she comes to the king. She says, hey, stop wetting yourself, Mr. King, right? There's a man in our kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him, is what she says. She's saying that she saw God at work through Daniel. But here's the thing. None of that would have happened if Daniel didn't trust and walk with God during his storms. I know a lot of times we hit those storms and we're like, God, I would rather just not go through with that, right? But we're in it. So we might as well glorify God and see how we can be used during that. Think about your own life as we walk through, right, this life. Storms will come. Difficulties happen. No matter if you're on the mountaintop or in the valley, if things are great, indifferent, or tough, we are to remain faithful and trust God and walk with Him. And here's the statement, church. We don't do that so that others see it. We don't trust God and walk with God so that others see it. But here's the truth. Others will see it. Others will see it. They're going to look and say, is Jesus real in their life or is it just a show? If we're representing Christ out in our community, we should have an authentic life for Christ. Amen? We want to live a life that honors Him and gives Him glory and watch it and just sit back and watch Him work in and through us. If I were to say that Jessica and I or myself, like that we've had the easiest life in the world, it would not be true. We've gone through a lot of tough things. I remember walking through a very tough time in college for me. And God used that time in my life to help many others whenever I became a collegiate minister. I sat down with over 100 college men and helped them through an issue because I trusted God and honored God as I walked through that myself. Our struggle, my family struggle with fertility and those types of things, right? We would rather not walk through that. Well, we got some pretty awesome kids out of it. You know, we saw God work in and through that, and then God has opened up so many doors. You sit back and you say, why God? And then you see all the doors that God has opened up with foster care and the sanctity of life and adoption and the relationship we have with the school district and the relationship we have with DCS and all sorts. I mean, God used those, and we get to step back and we get to say, thank you, right? Thank you. If we're going to walk through it, we might as well let God be glorified in it, right? Maybe God has used you in your life where you walked through a difficult moment. Maybe there was an addiction or a death of a loved one or a family problem. Whatever it was, trust God and let Him use it to help others. 2 Corinthians 4 says that we are able to comfort those in affliction because we were comforted by God during our afflictions. Right? Trusting and walking with God during our storm allows us to walk with others during theirs. Truth number two, this will go a little bit quicker. When the Lord allows us to walk with another through their storm, as a Jesus follower, we're to speak the truth. We're to speak the truth. When a godly person is brought into a crisis, if you're a godly person and God opens that door for you to walk through that crisis with someone, a top priority for you and me is to speak truth. Speak it in love. Amen? But speak the truth. Notice what happens with Daniel. The king brings him in, says, I'll give you a third in charge. I'll give you a purple robe. I'll give you a necklace. I'll do all these things for you. But listen to what he says. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, keep your gifts, give your rewards to someone else. However, I'm going to read the inscription to the king and make the interpretation known to him. Daniel says something that's really important for us to hear, church. It's not about the gifts. When God allows us to help someone out during their tough time, it's not about what we receive. Amen, church? It's not about what we can get out of it. Daniel says what matters right now is the truth, and the truth is what God wrote on that wall for you. Daniel's top priority, one of his top priorities was this, and it should be ours as well, is to point people to God and His Word. Guys, we have the written Word of God that's got a whole lot of truth in it. Amen? Right? We've got the written Word of God that we read and we use to help others. But in this particular moment, the truth from God, the words that God wanted them to hear, were written on a wall. Guys, for Daniel, it could not have been easy to give them this truth. Amen? Right? It could have cost him his life. But the truth mattered. For Daniel, it wasn't popular. It wasn't comfortable. It was going to drastically change the mood of the party. Right? It wasn't going to make the king and other people happy, but the truth of God said in love still matters. Guys, as people, we see other people in a tough situation. And if we're not careful, I need you to hear me. If we're not careful, we can end up just telling those people what is safe and what is convenient and what is comfortable and what is easier or what they want to hear. We're representing the Lord in this, right? I know we live in a day where many people are like, man, you don't get to speak into my life. I've got my truth, right? We don't believe in absolute truth. But I'm going to tell you what, God's word is absolutely true. It's always true. And it's good. 2 Timothy 3:16 says it's good for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness so that we can be equipped to walk with God. I think it's good. Amen, church, right? It's true. Now, there's a way to share the truth, that there's a heart in which we should share the truth, and it should be shared in love. If you can't share it in love, keep your mouth shut, because then we're not representing God very well. Amen, church? All right. But God allows us to be in those moments to share his truth. Now, the truth could be things like this. God loves you, right? He's with you. I know someone just passed away, but they're in heaven and you're going to be with them. Are you with me, church? Sometimes it's that kind of truth. But sometimes it's God having you step in and saying, what you're doing is not good for you. What you're doing goes against how God created you. What you're doing goes against God's design. What you're doing is sinful. And so we point them to God's truth. And here's a really important tag on to this one. We point them to God's truth, not to an opinion. Not to an opinion. God doesn't bring us in as his people to share our opinion. But his truth. Listen to what Jesus says in John 8:31. If you continue in my word, if you live it out, if you believe it, if you abide by it, then you're truly my disciples, right? And you will know the truth, right? If you continue in my word, you're my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's the truth of God. It's the truth of who Jesus is that matters, right? Our opinion sets nobody free. God's truth does, right? And then the last truth as we close out is this. Actually, last A. There's the last B, okay? Is this. As a Jesus follower, we must demonstrate grace. I think we got to hear this one too. Man, this one spoke to my heart today. One of the things that Daniel does here is he points out to them the grace of God. You're sitting there thinking, Pastor, but he died. But listen to what he does. In verse 22 through 23, Daniel was telling this king. He said, hey, king, listen how God pursued you and your people. Listen how God, he's telling them, God pursued you. He gave you opportunities. He's pointing out God's grace to them. Daniel was showing them God pursued them when they deserved none of it. Right? While you guys as a kingdom and your king was out doing all these things were against God, God still had grace with you. They rejected God. They dishonored God. They persecuted God's people. But God continued for years to pursue them and show grace, giving them the opportunities to turn to him. But here's the truth for us, because we can look at King Nebuchadnezzar and King Belshazzar and say, yeah, you guys didn't deserve it. Guess what? Neither do you, right? Neither do I. We have rejected God. We've sinned against God. We've dishonored God. We've turned our backs and sat instead of stood. But here's what God did. He so loved us. He pursued us. He was patient with us. He gave everything for us and invites us to follow him. It's by his grace that we're saved. Not one person in here. I don't care how godly you are, or religious you are, or how many Sunday school stickers you got. Not one of us deserves the grace and the forgiveness and the salvation of God. Not one of us deserves to walk with him, but it's because of the grace of God that we have that. I talk of grace because sometimes it can be difficult to walk with others through their difficult times. Amen, right? And here's why. Maybe we feel they're in their crisis because they deserve it. Maybe we feel that they are where they are because they chose that. Maybe we feel like they're not moving like we want them to, or they're not changing as fast or walking with God like we think they should, right? But remember, God was gracious and patient with us. Because we received grace from God, we too must demonstrate grace to others during their difficult times. Man, God just encouraged me and just spoke to me on that this week. And last thing, here's last part B. And I added this in there for us today is we point them to Jesus. During times of brokenness, God will give you, if you pray for it, God will give you an amazing opportunity to point others to him. To say stuff like this, I've been where you are. I've walked through this too. But do you know who comforted me? Do you know who I placed my trust in? Do you know who is with me when no one else was? The Lord Jesus, right? The Lord is over every relationship that we have. Your neighbors, your coworkers, your family, your schoolmates, everybody in your life is there because God has placed them in your life. Are you going to take that opportunity to be with them and point them to Jesus? He gives us opportunities in brokenness to point people to the only Savior that can rescue them from their biggest mess. Amen, church?
Man, that's good. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, we're so grateful that when we deserve nothing, thinking about grace, God, you gave us everything. I think about the sin in my life and how I don't deserve you. But you still love me. And you rescued me. God, first, help us during our moments, our seasons, our mountains and our valleys, to trust and walk with you. And God, when we walk through those, we don't really want them, if we're honest, God. We don't really want to walk through those. But God, let us see you at work in the midst of them. And God, use those to bring people to you. Use those times in our life to bring you glory. Use those times in our life to bring people to you. Use those times in our life where we can come alongside and help them and comfort them and speak your truth in love to them. God, this is a different passage than what we've covered over the last couple weeks. But I pray, God, for your people, those that are saved today, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us individually and say, this is what I need you to do. This is how I need you to respond. This is what I'm teaching you this morning. God, there may be people that are listening online and watching, and there may be people right here in this room that said, I'm walking through a difficult time. In fact, you talk about Jesus and how he was gracious and loving and he died for me and to bring me into relationship with him. I don't know Jesus. God, maybe they have been religious their whole life. Maybe they've rejected God. Maybe they've never heard of Jesus. But God, we know that you saw our biggest storm. And that was that we're separated from you. We're chained to sin. And we're destined to a real place called hell that was never designed for us. But you saw that storm and you lived the life we couldn't live, the perfect life, and you hung on that cross in our place as the perfect sacrifice to forgive us of our sins, to make us right with God, to bring us back into relationship, to restore that, to reconcile that. And you rose again and you call us to follow you, call us to call you Lord and to believe in Jesus, and then if we do, we'll be saved. God, we pray, Lord, today, if there's someone here today that's still in the biggest storm of their life and doesn't know Jesus, we pray, God, that today they would know as they walk out of here that they'll spend eternity with you, and through every difficulty they walk through, they'll walk through it with you. Be in charge of this moment, God, in Jesus' name. Guys, with your eyes closed, whatever God is speaking to you today, just listen. If you know Jesus, let him speak into your life. Maybe it's you need to be more gracious. Maybe it's you need to be more loving with your truth. Maybe it's you need to trust God in those hard moments and walk with God. Maybe it's to open your eyes and see maybe there's people around you that are hurting and struggling and you can help and point them to Christ. So spend that time with God. If you're here today, if you're online and you don't know Jesus, I want you to hear something today. Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. He knows every nook and cranny. He knows your thoughts. He knows your sin. He knows your good. He knows your successes. He knows all of that. And he loves you. He came even when you sinned against him, and he gave his life for you. And he says, Romans chapter 10 says, if you confess that Jesus is boss, that he's Lord, that he's in charge, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, meaning that he died for your sins and rose again, the Bible says we'll be saved. Be rescued from the pits of hell. Be rescued from your sins, rescued from you. So if you're here today, or you're online, if you're online, I want you to hear this. If you're online and say, I don't know Jesus, or I want to know Jesus, go to that connection card or email me. We'll respond today, and we'll talk with you about Jesus. If you're here today, I would love to connect with you about Jesus. But if you're here and you say, man, I don't know Jesus, and today is the day that I want Jesus to rescue me from the biggest storm, and that's my separation from him and sin. If you're here today and say, I want Jesus to save me, I would love for you to look me in my eye and raise your hand and say, I want Jesus to save me today. If you're online, email me. Fill out that connection card that goes to my email. We will reach out to you today. Father, we love you and we thank you for rescuing us, for being with us in the fire. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. When we think about the grace of God that Jesus came and lived a perfect life, and he hung on that cross because your sin, we needed it, right? Because of our sin. We couldn't do it ourselves. And so he says, I'm going to come and my body's going to be broken and my blood's going to be shed and I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again so you can spend eternity with me. And we have this ordinance, this opportunity to come together as the body collectively to come and grab bread and the juice. And when we take it, we remember. Jesus says, do this, take it, drink it, eat it in remembrance of me. Eat this and drink it, remembering what I did for you. And do it until the Lord comes again. Amen. So it's just a reminder. I'm just going to tell you, man, I knew you have opportunities each and every day to not follow Jesus. Right? And I knew. I was reminded as I was preparing this week, man, God, you're good. I don't want to dishonor you. I don't want to disobey you. This helps us with that, to remember who he is and what he did. So the Bible says that we're supposed to take it in a worthy manner. The Bible says, examine yourself. David says it really well in Psalm 139. He says, God, search me and try me. Know my heart. Find if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. Right? This is a time for us to have that clean heart before God and give him praise. And so what I want you guys to do is to have your moment just with God, just in silence and pray and give God thanks for what he did for you. Remember visually what he did for you and give him praise for that. Just maybe even rededicate, you know, your days to Jesus. And then we're going to, once you're ready, come up here and grab this and then we'll take it back and we'll all take it together. So you guys have your moment with the Lord here and then we'll take this together. As you are ready, you can come and grab your wafer and your juice, and we'll take this together this morning. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul is gathering the church body together and teaching them why and reminding them why they take the Lord's Supper together. And Paul writes in chapter 11, verse 12, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.'" And so together, we're going to take this wafer in representing the Lord's body. So we're going to take this together and then give thanks to him. So let's take this together. And the juice represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. So we're going to take this together in remembrance of him. Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. We thank you, God, for what you did when we deserve nothing. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that we get to be used by you. In Jesus' name.